conference finals are in full swing and the action increases from game to game. This is where the contenders are separated from the pretenders. To give you some skin in the game, DraftKings will be offering free-to-play pools every day of the basketball and hockey playoffs, offering players a free shot at $10,000 in total prizes. That's up to $10,000 in total prizes up for grabs each day. The best part is, it's free-to-play. DraftKings free-to-play pools are easy to enter. Just download the DraftKings app, go to Pools, and choose from a wide variety of free contests for an opportunity to win cash prizes. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN when you sign up to get a free shot at $10,000 in total prizes every day in the NBA and NHL playoffs. Head to DraftKings Pool to Play page to get your shot at huge cash prizes. That's promo code THPN for a limited time only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Montreal tonight. Who you got? Put them up. Let us know who you got in the comments at World Hockey RPT on Twitter. Also, are the Bolts back? I don't know. Game one, a little bit of a scary one for them. They fought back. We got an even series there. We're going to dive into all of that. Cody Jansen, Katie Caldwell with you here. World Hockey Report presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts. Now open in Edmonton, Alberta on St. Albert Trail Northwest. They got everything you are looking for. Wow, Vegas dominated Montreal in game one. I don't know if we're going to see an even closer game two. You'd have to assume Montreal is going to be ready, but I got some hot takes of that. We're going to save it. Huge show lined up for you. Kaylee Chalios coming on, Tampa Bay Lightning radio analyst in about 20 minutes time. Then Ken Balky, Sin Bin Vegas coming on here in about 40 minutes to talk Vegas-Montreal. We'll tee up that series. We'll recap game two, Isles, Bolts, everything under the sun. But first, got to tell you about Lord Co. Auto Parts. Almost 50 years, they've been a household name across Western Canada. Everything, car parts, boat, accessories, RV, whatever you need, Lord Co.'s got you covered. 7 days a week at Lord Co. Auto Parts on St. Albert Trail Northwest. Visit them today for an exceptional customer experience or learn more about their products and services at lordco.com. Snap it over. Katie Caldwell hanging out with us here today. What's going on?
Oh, what a week. Cody, how are you doing? Playoff hockey. I'm so pumped.
I wasn't talking to Dallas Cowboys this week, so arguably not as good as you, but hey, I'm doing good. Playoff hockey's going on. The weather's beautiful. I don't know if people can see, but I have a pathetic sunburn going on right now. Like, I burnt like two of the three last days, so I am dying. I shouldn't be wearing a shirt. It's just like, you know that sunburn feeling?
Yes, where, you
like,
should be. Yeah. You shouldn't be doing the shirtless right now.
Okay, well, no. Like, it just like rubs on your sunburn. It's the absolute worst.
You understand that sunscreen exists, right?
I wear sunscreen and it hates me. I think I burn worse when I wear sunscreen. I'm firmly convinced.
I'm not a doctor, but I know for a fact that's not true. I know. Okay,
Everyone, let us know in the comments right now. Do you burn worse if you wear sunscreen? And here's my reasoning for that, because I feel when I wear sunscreen, I think I'm invincible. I think I'm tougher than the sun.
Okay, so that's not the sunscreen.
It's the sunscreen's fault for this fake confidence that I can like stay outside for an extra like 2 hours.
That's some pretty tight logic when you put it that way. I mean, how can I argue with?
I'm going to blame the sunscreen because, yeah, tanning oil does not work on my white body. You can probably see like my like hat line there too, because I don't go a day in my life without a hat on. So I'm sure the barber likes that. Probably be bald by the time I'm 40. I don't care. I'm open for it. We got to talk hockey, though. Everyone, let us know in the comments at World Hockey RPT. Give us your predictions. Vegas, Montreal, game two tonight. Let's recap, though. Tampa, they beat the Islanders last night I thought Tampa in game one, they looked tired. They looked sluggish. They looked like they had been playing hockey for 2 years in a row without a break. And it almost caught up to them. But again, they catch a second win. They battle through some awful calls against the Isles. And, you know, they score with seven guys on the ice. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
It's true. And game one in this playoffs is really interesting in these series anyways, because we haven't seen these teams play each other through the whole season. So this is the first time where I'm looking at game one, and we'll get into the Habs and the Knights too, but I kind of looked at that one where I don't want to say game one in my mind was going to be a wash, but there's so much of just figuring out the other team compared to how it is normally where you're playing these teams this season. So yeah, Tampa and Isles, it's interesting. I hope it goes to seven because I just love the way these two teams play together. I love that it's just a continuation of last year. But yeah, what should we talk about? Should we go into the Adam Pellick situation?
Yeah, and Braden Point? Give me your thoughts on that, because as someone who hasn't played hockey, I feel like you might have a different take than me, where in real time, I thought that was Braden Point running into Varlamov. I knew he got pushed, and I thought that he worked his way into Varlamov on purpose, you know, semi on purpose, take the shove, run into him. So in real time, I have a hard time faulting the refs. I do. I honestly, as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, yeah, Point's going to get dinged for that one. Pretty obvious. Ooh. You watch the replay. Hockey Twitter loves slow motion. Hockey Twitter is about screenshots and slow motion and how didn't the ref see this, watching it on a phone close up on replay. I mean, I don't know. Give me your thoughts on it.
When I watched it in real time, I didn't love the call even in real time. And I understand that the league wants to protect their goaltenders, and I'm all for that. I totally get it. But I think there's no way that wasn't Adam Pellick's fault. There was no time for Point to react. Like, there wasn't a lot of space between him and Varlamov. So I don't really understand what he could have done in that situation. Like,
I don't think you could have done anything. You know, you look back and you go, okay, he had no room and he lost control. I think what the refs saw is likely what I saw, and I feel others have too, where, you know, it didn't look like Pellick's push, shove, cross check, whatever you want to call it, was that hard in real time. It looked like, yes, he gave him a shot, but it was nothing out of the norm that would have caused Braden Point to do that, until you watch the replay where you can clearly see Pellick pushes him off balance. And that's why you can't stop on a dime like a normal Braden Point would.
Well, and it might not be that the shot was that hard, but where they are on the ice and the way the momentum is going, it's a hard shot because look what it did. Like, sure, if you're further up the ice and you're not going so fast and you check him like that, then okay, I totally get that argument. But yeah, I didn't like any of it in real time. And like you said, like, the refs don't see slow-mo. Twitter loves slow-mo. Like, I do get all of that. But even in real time, I'm kind of going, I didn't super love that.
Adam chimed in and said his predictions that Cody's a clown. I mean, I'll take it. It's the sunburn. I'm looking a little red. Hard to argue with that. I mean, good thing he gave us a legit prediction. Good thing he's gonna, you know, put himself out there. He hates Vegas and he hates the Isles. So now he's cheering for him. That's a hot take. I think he picked Montreal to win as well.
Oof. Both of us did.
You picked Montreal as well?
Yeah.
What? Oh, man. Okay, well, then. What a terrible choice. They can get swept.
It's been one game.
Yeah, but I Carey Price played great.
Okay, let's get right into that game.
Tell me I'm wrong here. Carey Price played great and they still got blown out.
Yeah, it's not that simple. Hockey doesn't just work like that. What did you see them in the first period? When they came out strong. And that's what everybody was looking for, is that first period, is what are these two teams going to look like? Because we haven't seen, like I said earlier, we haven't seen Montreal play anyone outside of the North. And yeah, the North does suck. I think we all know that.
Okay, well, but I won't go that far. But
between the Habs and the Leafs, who was the better team? The Leafs were the better team on paper. They have the better, arguably, I think they have the better team. Montreal won. So what I'm looking for now is, and I know it's the cliche, you're not in trouble until you lose at home, but I'm curious to see how they make their adjustments, both coaches. Like, Vegas, they were getting a lot of their offense from the blue line. That's a big one. And Price, like, there a couple of those goals, like the Theodore to Martinez goal.
What?
Who in the world is stopping that? Like, did anybody not get faked out by
Henrik Lundqvist is stopping that because he plays so deep in his net.
Okay. But even still, I do agree with you. That's a good point. But even still, it's every single person in the world was surprised by that.
Yeah, I mean, what a play. And we'll talk about that, you know, their decor later too with Ken Balky from Sinbin Vegas, because I feel like their decor is one of the sneakiest offensive decors in the league. I mean, they just produce and produce, and they are wildly impressive. As far as it goes for Montreal, sure, they came out buzzing, but you had to assume that when that's the first real crowd they're playing in front of all year. I get it. You can have 2,500 fans in Montreal. That's not even close to 20,000, 19,000, whatever they got in Vegas. It's a totally different atmosphere. I mean, they're getting injected with a lot of different energy there, so they're going to come out buzzing. End of the day, I think they're just outmatched.
But they were playing well. They were shooting Vegas in the first. They were on Fleury. Like, they were making good shots. They were playing good hockey. It wasn't just that they were energized. I thought they looked good in the first period. And for me, when it really changed was when they started taking so many penalties in the second. Like, Vegas isn't a team that you can make any mistakes against. And I'll give Vegas credit. They're really good at drawing penalties. But, yeah, I don't know about...
Are you saying Vegas dives? Is that what you're saying?
No. You calling I was complimenting them on their ability to draw penalties. But, yeah, they're a tough team. And I'm pumped to see what game two looks like. I still, I'm looking at my pick watching that game going oh, yeah, I think Vegas is the much better team. But it's the playoffs, and that's what's – it could be one injury away or one play, one overtime. Like, that's why we love this. Like, none of us in the entire world called what happened in the North earlier with the two sweeps. Like, that's why we love this. But, yeah, I'm not counting Montreal out. I love the swagger they're rocking with. I love the wink after that save on Mark Stone. Like, Price, he looks good. He made some amazing saves. I just think they get a bit of offense going. They don't make mistakes. I think they could do it. I'm definitely regretting my pick.
So what you're saying is, if they play perfect, they have a chance.
Yeah, they have to. And they do. They have to play almost perfect.
Because, when I look at the pressure they put on, though, Fleury had to make two tough saves. And he made two really good saves. The rest of it, it's a pretty casual night for Marc-Andre Fleury, I think, until they went 6-on-5 at the end for 5 minutes. Somehow Vegas didn't score and get us the over in that game. Wild. Whole nother story.
Energy.
Whole nother story.
Patty Waugh energy with 4.5 left and he's pulling the goalie.
But without Jeff Petrie, Montreal's a totally different team, especially on the back end. But I think the biggest thing is they emptied their tank to get to this point. They emptied their tank to come back against Toronto and then against Winnipeg. Although they swept them, it's a tough sweep. Not an easy team to sweep there. I think that they're gassed. I think that they've played ahead of their potential. And when it comes down to time to sink or swim, I think they're done. And I could see Vegas sweeping it. I've said it before. I've said it a million times. But, I don't see where Montreal stands a chance in this series unless Price holds them to one or two goals in a game. If Price allows two, they're probably going to lose.
I can agree with that. With your point about being out of gas, I totally get that argument. But I also just feel like they've been kind of playing outside their weight class this whole time. And I just think they're not as good of a team, but to be in that game like they were before they started taking those penalties in the second, I didn't really see out of gas. I just saw that they don't have the depth that Vegas does. They don't have the blue line that Vegas does, but I still have a bit of confidence in them. I'm waiting a few more games.
What did you think of Pacioretty just taking out Corey Perry's legs there at the faceoff? That's gotta be one of the best gifts of this season.
I was so thrilled about that just because Corey Perry is such a polarizing human being. I've had my opinions on Perry since the beginning of time. I've never been the hugest fan. And then this season I'm having a lot of conversations with myself going you need to start giving him the playoff respect he deserves. Cause he's a different human being in the playoffs. And it almost feeds into my frustration with him where I'm going, why can't you be a quarter of this in the regular season?
Because the regular season's a different sport. Look at the Edmonton Oilers and Toronto Maple Leafs.
Get it.
You know, but when Corey Perry...
They didn't win the division and just skate through. They had to fight their ass off to get into the playoffs. And that's where I'm going, okay, you need to show up a little bit more than that. Before, my and it speaks to how well he's playing in the playoffs, but it does also speak to my frustration with how well he doesn't play in the regular season. I get that it's a different game, but come on, Corey Perry.
That is fair. I love Perry. I love his playoff style. I love how he pisses off goaltenders, and he's really not afraid to, you know, piss off the other team, to keep using that term. Hey, we're diving into NHL news for Pro Rock Hockey Sticks, family-owned Canadian company changing the hockey stick game. Pro Rock offers top-of-the-line twigs at a fraction of the cost, not even close. Use them for a while now, and I will never go back. I can say that wholeheartedly. We'll not go back to the big companies. Pro Rock, lighter, more balanced, best price point when it comes to top-of-the-line sticks. Check them out today, prorock.com. So I feel like we've dove into Vegas and Montreal. And before we get to our guest, Kaylee Chelios, after the break here, I want to get another thought on this Tampa Isles series, because Vasilevskiy, he lets in that weak goal in game one. Obviously, he's still one of the best goaltenders in the world. But is Barzal good enough to change this series by himself? Because I feel that's the difference maker. If Barzal is a superstar, the Isles have a chance. If Barzal's just an average forward, like, you know, Pageau, Eberle, then I don't think the Isles have a chance, because they haven't been able to drive that offense. And I love Brock Nelson. I love those guys. I just don't see it in their lineup.
And the Isles are a team, to me, that I don't think they need to score like crazy. I think they just need to be good enough on offense, because their defense and goaltending is so, so solid. Barzal, he looks like, doesn't he look like a different player this season, this offseason?
Well, I think he's got a little bit more confidence now. It comes with
age. That's what I see.
You start to feel it a little more. You start to learn the league a little better. You start to learn your opponents. I mean, it's not the first time he's playing Tampa now, so he's got a different swagger in his step, if you want to go with that. Shout out NFL. I know they love that word. But, like, he just looks like he's got a little bit more energy, a little bit more juice, a little bit more knowledge, and it's huge for him.
I like Barzal. I like Beauvillier. I like Brock Nelson. I think I'm more pumped on their offense than you are. And like I said, like, I don't think they need to be outstanding. I think they just need to score, especially 5-on-5, when they can. Like, I don't think they need to be electric out there. But yeah, I've been pretty pumped watching them. Because usually their style of game, like, I haven't watched a ton of Islanders in my life, especially this season. A lot of us watch the North, and I've been very open and honest about this whole time. But yeah, the Isles, when I do watch them, I'm always pleasantly surprised at their offense, especially in the last couple weeks, because I expect them to be a bit boring and a bit just defensive and play the shutdown structured game.
You can't call them boring, or we're going to have people raging through our comment section.
But I thought they would be, but that's what I'm saying, is they haven't been. Their offense has been pretty fun for me to watch.
Yeah, we won't talk about how big of a dump the Coliseum is, but hey, we got to head off to commercial break. Our next guest, Kaylee Chelios, coming up. It's World Hockey Report, presented by Lord Go Auto Parts. Cody Jansen, Katie Caldwell with you on 12 Ounce Sports. Now, I was a little harsh on Tampa after game one. I thought they just didn't have it. The Isles looked a lot more motivated. So I knew after game two, I think they're back. I think I was wrong. I think I made my take too early. Not that I want to admit it. So we are going to dive into it. Cody Jans and Katie Caldwell with you here on World Hockey Report, presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts, the one-stop shop for quality RV, car, truck, or marine parts and accessories. Our next guest, Kaylee Chelios, brought to you by Coco Vodka, Coco Rum. Our friends right there, the drink of summer. You can't forget about Coco when you're going out camping this year. Refreshingly different Coco Vodka Rum coming up with new cans here in Canada. I'm seeing they're already being released in stores. They look phenomenal. Shout out Avon Mark, unreal product. Their flavors are next. Enjoy the Coco life with us. High quality ingredients, no fillers, no beer bloat, no cheap liquor. Coco Vodka, Coco Rum. You will not be disappointed. Our next guest, Kaylee Chelios, Tampa Bay Lightning radio analyst, joins us to help us break down the series. And Kaylee, we appreciate you taking the time. And I want to get your thoughts on it, because after game one, maybe I was a little harsh, but I thought Tampa looked tired. They looked like they'd been playing hockey for two straight years. And in game two, they were a completely different team. Did they just figure out Barry Trotz's system again and kind of wake up to it? Or, you know, am I right? And I think that this is just one more push for them.
I mean, I think that they did it. Yeah, a little bit of a 180 from game one to game two. I think both these teams are very familiar with each other, so there wasn't a whole lot of figuring out, despite the fact that they hadn't played each other in 6+ months. But I think the biggest thing was in this, I think it just played a factor. Sometimes it happens, but there's 4 days between the series from Carolina to the Islanders for Tampa Bay. And then on top of it, it's an afternoon puck drop, a 3 p.m. puck drop. The Lightning have been at home. Maybe they took a little bit of an exhale, felt comfortable. They just didn't bring it, like you said, to the arena that night, unfortunately. And the Lightning or the Islanders were able to capitalize. You know, they're a team that probably came into the series with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. Yes, I think they have maybe 7 new players added to their roster having an impact, but they still have a lot of the same players coming back from last season. And, you know, it was a tough, they've come close and they're a team that, you know, has the ability to go far. They're very well coached under Barry Trotz, as you said, and they play in their structure. They played nearly a perfect game for them in game one and the Lightning just off, you know, tape to tape passes weren't there. They didn't have the energy. They didn't have that attacking mentality. They didn't have that shoot first mentality. So they had almost zero opportunities on the rush. They just didn't test Varlamov nearly enough to be able to win that game. And yet, you know, the Islanders, it was still a 1-goal game, you know, going into the end of it. So I thought game two was a really exciting game for fans. Obviously it had a lot more emotion, intensity, a lot more between the whistles and everything, but it was a big response, I think, by the Lightning, and I'm not surprised to see it because we've seen it all season from them.
Kaylee, of course the Lightning faced them in the conference final last year, but what's the biggest difference you see in this Isles team? And how much more of a run for their money do you think they're going to give the Lightning this season?
I think for the Islanders, you know, it's tough. Like you said, I didn't watch a ton of the Islanders this season. I didn't watch a ton of too many other teams because I was fixated on, you know, every Lightning game, and a lot of them were happening in the same division at the same time. So I didn't get a chance to watch the Islanders that much in the regular season, but just looking at what I have in the playoffs so far, I'm watching their series with Boston. It seems like they have more players just with confidence, as you guys talked about, that can score goals. I think a little bit of a knock on them was they ran out of scoring against the Lightning last season, and they defend extremely well. They play in their structure well, and they're one of the best teams at shutting it down when they have the lead. But I think now this season, you know, Brock Nelson, their third line, has been contributing and producing for them. And as boring as we kind of talk about the Islanders hockey style being, they actually are like the highest scoring team in the playoffs, which shocked me when I saw that, ahead of Vegas, ahead of Tampa Bay. And they don't rely on their special teams to do it either. So, I mean, they have a lot more scoring depth, and they have 4 lines that buy in and commit to their identity. That's what Barry Trotz can do for you as a head coach. You know, he has the respect of his players, and they're very, you know, hard team to play against.
Well, I'll ask my next question, because before your audio got cut off, you were talking about Barry Trotz. So him and John Cooper are just two of my favorites in the league. Who do you think has the edge in making the necessary adjustments as the series goes on between the two coaches?
I mean, like you said, they're two of the best coaches in the NHL, I think. And just, I've been covering Tampa Bay for 5 years, and just being around the media, other players, broadcasters, there's a lot said about Barry Trotz and how good he is. And, you know, he coached the Capitals team that won the Stanley Cup and beat the Lightning in the conference finals in 2018. And I think Barry had a lot to do with it, his coaching, and he's just really smart. And he has his team buy into a structure, a system. They play to their identity. A very different Capitals team, but at the same time, he's doing it again with the Islanders, just, you know, finding a team. And he doesn't really stay, you know, stuck in his ways either. I mean, he finds different ways to win. He can play different ways. He changes his systems and structures depending on where he goes. So I don't know who has the edge here. I mean, John Cooper now has a Stanley Cup under his belt. The Lightning have been a competitive team, you know, nearing a cup victory since 2015, really. So I think both coaches have the ability to adjust, but I think, like, personnel wise, the Lightning just have more weapons. You know, their power play has been deadly and a huge reason for their success in the last two series, especially against the Panthers. I mean, they overcame 2-goal deficits multiple times with their power play to win games and close that series out in 5. So I think Barry Trotz, you know, has his team playing the right way and they're bought in, but, you know, can they play hard enough and outplay and outwork the Lightning and, you know, draw fewer penalties? Game one, we didn't really see. We saw 2 from the Islanders, and the least penalized team in the regular season. The Lightning played a much more desperate brand of hockey in game two, and they forced the Islanders to be on their heels at times and take penalties. And, you know, the Lightning power play, I thought, was not super effective in the first couple opportunities, but, you know, they got momentum. They had looks, and, you know, that's all you need. Make their top players defend in their own zone.
I guess we'll find out what game plan Barry Trotz draws up for playing against seven Tampa Bay Lightning on the ice at one time. No, we're not going to dive into that. Hey, Kaylee, I got one last one for you, and I'm jealous you get to watch Braden Point every year. I think he's one of my favorite players to watch. What has he changed from the regular season to the playoffs that makes him such a different player? When come playoff time, he just seems so much more dynamic and impactful. Every shift he's out there, it seems like you're noticing him.
Yeah, he's an incredible player. I love watching him, and I've been, you know, I've had the privilege to watch him every practice and every game for the last five seasons. He was a rookie my first year covering the team, so I kind of watched him grow from being a young kid who was just trying to make the team to kind of taking off the second half of the season. He had an injury in his rookie season, and from January on, he just went on a scoring spree. He just has it, you know, his hockey IQ. His ability to read plays, that's why he plays so well with Nikita Kucherov. You have to find players that can complement each other and find play. It's not easy to do, to play with, you know, the Kucherovs of the world, because they think at such a high level and they make plays with pace, and you have to be able to compete with them. You don't want a Kucherov or a Point to have to play down to another player's level. So, I mean, all the more credit to Andre Palat for slotting in there, too, on that top line and getting it done. He's just a workhorse, too. But I think the biggest thing with Braden Point is just his compete. And with each year, he's grown more and more confident. He led the team this season, even though Kucherov was out of the lineup in points. He's been a crucial part of the Lightning lineup as their number one center. And there's just so many good things you could say about him. He's a great personality off the ice. Really good person, great family. And then on the ice, you know, there's a couple players I'd say from the Lightning I wouldn't want to get into a fight with during a practice. One of them being Victor Hedman. And he means business no matter the situation. And, you know, Braden Point, you know, he's really nice guy, quiet, extremely humble. But if you make him angry, you know, I love seeing Braden Point angry. He's a great competitor when the game's on his stick. He's always there to score those big goals. And I think that's just a compete factor. And it just goes to show you how smart he is, too. His hockey IQ for his size and his explosiveness. I mean, he's done an incredible job so far with the Lightning organization and developing.
Well, Kaylee, thanks so much for being here. You've said it all.
I talk a lot. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, it's great. Sorry, we had the technical difficulties, but yeah, that was so great. Cody, any of the questions? Or
No, I'm good. Thank you again, Kaylee. We really appreciate you taking the time here, and we hope, you know, maybe we'll get to talk to you after another Stanley Cup win.
Yeah, anytime, guys. It was great to join you, and I enjoyed the show so far. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks for being here with us.
Perfect. Right there, Kaylee Chelios, Tampa Bay Lightning radio analyst. I love the Bolts broadcast, and they got Dave Randorf on TV too. I don't know how much you are into that whole behind the scenes thing, but I think Tampa Bay has just done it right. That's how you build a team in the South. Mm-hmm. All the credit in the world as well to Vegas for what they've done with their in-rink stuff. I think it's obviously better than Amalie Arena. But again, from a technical perspective, Tampa is one of the most innovative teams out there. Hey, what stood out to you in that interview? What did you really take away from that? Because for me, I've got one thing at the top of my mind, but I want to know what you took from it.
When she was talking about Braden Point at the end there, I really like what she was saying about playing on someone's line and then not having to play down to someone else's level. Because I think it's easy to look at guys and just go, oh, well, they play with so-and-so and so-and-so, so of course they're going to get points. But I hadn't really thought of it that way, that you do have to be on their level so they aren't having to play down to you. And yeah, like guys on the Lightning, they're fast, they're quick thinkers. Like they're such an elite team that if you're not on your game on that line with them, that was just a really good conversation she had about that.
Yeah, you took my point right there. I was going to say, I didn't think about it that way where Braden Point during the regular season, not to say that there's no one else on that roster, but there's no one else like Stamkos and Kucherov. So yeah. It totally makes sense where you say, okay, let's up the competition. Let's make Braden Point work harder in a sense that you can see his game elevate that much. So he's one of the more impressive players without a doubt. Let's dive into a little bit more NHL news here for Pro Rock Hockey Sticks. Looking back at one of the series, you know, one of the teams that's out, Tuukka Rask. He's going for, you know, hip surgery, torn labrum. He's going to be out till January, February. What is it with Boston media that they just hate this guy? I mean, honestly, I think any team in the world would be happy to have Tuukka Rask, and they just want him out. And I get it. Even Adam said before, too, that he thinks they're one of the most disappointing teams of the decade. That's fair. They didn't win a cup after, you know, they beat Vancouver. How are you? You know, almost 10 years to the
June date. June 15th, 2011.
Yeah, when Vancouver tried to burn down their city. Great day. Great day to be a Bruins fan. But again, Tuukka Rask, I want your thoughts on him, because why does he want to keep going back to Boston? It makes no sense to me.
Well, it's hard because you don't understand what happens in the locker room with them. Like, as a team in the building, it probably looks a lot different than the media landscape and the fans. Because you can look at Vancouver and how insane their fans are. I'm one of them. I get it. But, and I've worked in the Vancouver market, and there's a lot of times where I'm going, why would anyone want to play here? And it's so easy for us to get wrapped up on what we see, but we're not in the building with them. Like, we don't know what Bruce Cassidy says to fire them up in the locker room. Like, the actual culture of the team, I think, needs to happen in the locker room. And that's probably what he's looking at. He's been there forever. But Tuukka's a situation for me where it feels like, because I went down a rabbit hole the other day just about fans shitting on Tuukka. And I don't understand it. It feels like he can't win no matter what he does. It seems like
he can win a cup and they'd say he should have two.
Exactly. Last year, it's, oh, he quit on his team when he opted out. And then this year, they're saying that he cost the team because he played injured. Like, it seems like there's nothing that Tuukka can do where he's not in the wrong. And I just, I don't get it. Like, the Bruins need serious help on defense, like I touched on earlier. Why is all this pressure just to be put on Tuukka to just get them all the way through the playoffs till the end when the rest of the you go.
You're on the exact train as me, because they expect Tuukka Rask to go on a run like Jordan Binnington did. And yes, I know you hate Binnington, but again, I mean, he kind of stole him a Stanley Cup. He played way above his head, where Tuukka Rask has always been an elite goaltender. And where do you go if you're a top three goaltender? It's hard to be even better than that. So you can't play above mm-hmm. expectations when the expectations are you're a top three goaltender already. So it's a, you know, lose-lose situation. Well, the old Michael Scott, right. Lose-lose-lose. Yeah.
We're actually going for the win-win-win. But Tuukka, like, it was said again and again and again, he's not at 100%. And then when we hear it's a torn hip labrum, like, that makes me hurt sitting here speaking.
I don't just even know what a labrum is, but I mean, I can't imagine what it's like hurting it. I got a paper cut the other day and I almost took the day off work.
We led the show with you complaining about your self-inflicted sunburn for 5 minutes. Like, obviously, exactly. A torn hip labrum isn't going to feel super tight. But yeah, with Tuukka, I just feel so bad for him because I wish he was a player that fans would wholeheartedly embrace. And I think a lot of it is just, I have a lot of feelings about the Boston market that this is not the platform that I'm to share them on, because I'll never get a job again. But yeah, it makes me sad for him because he's given so much to that team. And I wish he was wholeheartedly embraced and celebrated like he should be. Because
Everything to that team. It's like if Flames fans were pissed off at Mika Kiprusoff because he never won a cup. You know, it's the same thing. It's wild. It's outrageous. I'll put him up there with the Pekka Rinnes of the league. I mean, Tuukka Rask is a phenomenal goaltender. We got a lot to get to, but let's head off to a commercial break. Ken Balhi from Sinbin Vegas is coming up next. We've already gave our thoughts on Vegas and Montreal. I wonder what the experts think. It's World Hockey Report. Cody Jans and Katie Caldwell with you here on 12 Ounce Sports. We're talking game two tonight after the break. Another game two tonight, Montreal and Vegas. It's been a great series, and I do enjoy watching games when they're in Vegas. That home atmosphere, you can feel it all the way up in Canada. We're missing full crowds. We'll get to it hopefully next year. Cody Jans and Katie Caldwell with you. It's World Hockey Report presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts. Learn more at LordCo.com. Follow them at Lord Co. Parts on social media. Now, our next guest, brought to you by Billy Smelling Salts. Now, I broke these out earlier. Katie told me not to do it, but I'm going to crack one on air because everyone ditched the energy drinks. If I can get this open. Wow. I might not be able to get this open.
Way to make me seem like a fun wrecker when I encourage this.
I should have opened it beforehand. So I've got one out, Billy Smelling Salts. Everyone go check it out. I'm sorry, I'm butchering the ad read here for him, but you got to ditch the energy drinks and coffee. Billy Smelling Salts, they're designed for athletes just like us. We're hardcore athletes. Everyone knows that. And if you're looking to get in the zone, Billy's Smelling Salts got you. Support Canadian business. Go check them out today. Shopbillys.com plus punch in the promo code WHR for an extra 10% off. Of course, use responsibly. So here's how you do it. You get these, you know, little things out there. You break it. I hope you can hear the crack on air.
Oh, think, yeah.
Can you hear that? Can you hear that?
Oh, hell yeah.
Now you get that whiff. Oh, it killed you. That is something else. I love it. Everyone's got to go check it out. Ditch the coffee. Let's move on to our guest here. Ken Balky joins us now that our shenanigans are all done. Ken, hey, we appreciate you hopping on. Everyone go check out Sin Bin Vegas, the absolute best in Golden Knights media coverage. Let's talk about that home crowd because I think that has been the difference maker all playoffs for that team. When things get tough, they seem to push them on through. Talk about it. Because Montreal hasn't been in an environment like that all year. Do you think that was one of the main differences in game one? Because I think all playoffs, Vegas is going to have that advantage. They got the most rowdiest crowd in the league right now.
Yeah, I actually kind of thought it would make more of a difference earlier in the game. If you were to tell me which period is Montreal going to play the best, it definitely wouldn't have been the first. I would have been the second or the third. I just think that, like, as much as the fans have made a difference, and I think they definitely helped a lot in the Colorado series and certainly Minnesota. I think game seven, just Minnesota was like, where in the F are we? But in this series, I just think one team's better. So it shouldn't matter. As long as the better team plays the way that they can, it shouldn't matter.
So, Ken, I want to go back to the fans. I was down in Vegas for the Cup Final a couple of years back, and even in their first season, I was so taken aback at the level of conversation that I was able to have with fans. They were so, so knowledgeable. What is it about Vegas that hockey works so well?
It's almost like we're not idiots. It's great.
No, but in the first season, though, that's what surprised me so much was the knowledge with the passion.
For sure. I think there was their kind of before they ever started, there was this belief that they were going to do stuff like explaining icing and explaining offside in their rink. And I think they learned pretty quick that as much as Vegas has never had a home team, very few people are from Vegas. I'm not from Vegas. I grew up in Chicago. Hardly anybody's actually from here. So everybody came from somewhere else. And the people that were putting down thousands of dollars to go watch a hockey team, they know what's going on. They know the rules. They know what's going on. Obviously, we had to all get used to who the players were and, you know, how this team was going to look. But yeah, I think that they learned pretty quick that the knowledge base is not bad for the people that actually want to talk about it. That doesn't mean that Vegas doesn't have the largest amount of fans that have never seen a game before. We do. Like, that's the expansion team. And Seattle will beat it, you know, next season. But yeah, I think the knowledge base is pretty good.
So you bring up Seattle. Heading into another expansion year, what lessons do you think they're going to take away from the success in Vegas?
I think that's terrifying to be them. Like, we don't want to be them. Like, what a mess. I think more of the lessons are going to come from the other teams as opposed to from Seattle. A lot of these teams tried so hard to make something work for themselves when really the most obvious answer is right there in front of you. Like, give them your ninth worst or best player. Like, it's not that big a deal. Where some of these teams like, man, our ninth best player is Matt Dumba. We better give them 72 draft picks. Like, that's what these teams were doing. And I think that a lot of them are going to realize, let's just give them our ninth best player and we'll go from there. And in a way, I think that actually might make Seattle a better team out of the gate. Like, I think Vegas got pretty lucky in some of these picks. And then they were able to use the assets that they got to turn it into what they've become now.
Ken, when I look at the Vegas decor on paper, offense isn't the first thing that jumps out to mind. But obviously you add Petro, you've got Martinez. There's so many good pieces on that back end. Are they the sneakiest, best offensive decor in the league? Because I think that they need to be in that conversation.
I think that part of it is how they play. I think the Pete DeBoer system kind of highlights offense from the defense. And in many ways, it allows the points to come from there. Like, a lot of these shots are going in and they're banking shots off the wall. And then that leads to an assist. They're trying to hit the quick ups and hit some of these transition plays. And that leads to points. I think they're actually the sneakiest, best defensive defense in the NHL, as opposed to being the sneakiest, best offensive defense in the NHL. And the reason for that is that they're just unbelievably solid across the board, like all six of them. And even your seventh, if you throw Nick Hague in there, they're all very good in their own end. They really very rarely are out of position. And when goals are scored, I usually point at the forwards as opposed to the defenseman. Like, oh, that guy's fault, not Nick Hague.
Katie, do you got one more? I've got a last one. If you got one, go for it too.
I just want to hear your prediction for the series. And if it's not a sweep by Vegas, how does Montreal get it done if they are to be winning?
Well, I think I'm gonna let you down. My prediction is a sweep from Vegas.
I knew it.
I'm new here. I actually did not pick the Golden Knights to win the last series. I picked Colorado in five. So I'm not your normal blogger homer guy, but the Golden Knights are just a lot better than this team. And as long as they play up to the style of play that they can play, the things that Vegas does well, Montreal just doesn't have an answer for. The heavy forecheck, living in their offensive zone, locking up the neutral zone, and basically just taking away any offense that you could generate the other way. It's just going to be impossible for Montreal to do anything. If they are to win, there's two ways to do it. One, Carey Price has to steal a game, which certainly possible. He stole two goals in the last game, and I think he could do it again. And then the other piece would be they've just got to create a few more turnovers in the offensive zone. I think they can do that. When Montreal's forechecking, they have a sneaky, good, sneaky, dangerous forecheck. And if they can create a couple of extra turnovers and capitalize on them, maybe they can steal a game 3-2. But I'm not picking one.
Now, I didn't plan on looking forward this far into the future, but you and Katie already brought up the expansion draft. Where do you think Vegas goes from here with Robin Leonard? Do you think he is possibly someone they say, maybe you take a draft pick, take Leonard's contract off of our hands because we are pushed to the brim right now? Give me your thoughts on that. That's my last one for you.
So I have much different thoughts of what I would do as opposed to what I think they're going to do. So I'll tell you what I think they're going to do, because who gives a damn what I think, to be honest. What
you
I
do.
Think they're going to do is I think they're going to hang on to both. I think they went through this season and it nearly got them the President's Trophy, and they believe that that was a reason that it happened. I don't, but they think that the two goalies helped them. They think there's a good partnership there. They're about to probably head to the Stanley Cup final. So all the, you know, knuckleheads that run websites in Vegas that are claiming that $12 million is too much in goalies are going to end up looking like idiots. Hello. When they go to the Stanley Cup final. So I still think it's a bad idea to have $12 million in goalies. I think they could use a $5 million forward at the moment, and they may very well need that if they play Tampa or New York. But I think they're just going to hang on to both. And then from there, it'll come down to what Fleury wants to do beyond there and where he is in his career. I would imagine he's probably going to just sign one-year deals from there on out, and then we'll figure out where the statue goes.
Well, Robin Leonard for Ryan Nugent Hopkins. I'll start the rumors now. And thank you so much for hopping on the show. We appreciate you. Enjoy game two tonight and the rest of the series. Hope to talk to you after Vegas lifts the Stanley Cup this year.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ken.
Ken Balky right there from Sin Bin Vegas. Interesting takes. I didn't think we'd be talking expansion draft on the show, but he also made the point about Montreal is the things that Vegas does best, Montreal has a tough time matching it. They do. Vegas has a more experienced decor. Vegas has more experienced forwards. Fleury has had more success than Carey Price. It's a tough matchup. And as we said earlier, if Montreal wants a chance at this, they're going to have to, you know, play out of their minds, essentially.
Yeah, but didn't they do that so far?
They have. They have. But it got them to this point. And sometimes that last hurdle, well, I guess you get two more hurdles. This one's just a little bit higher.
You have a few hurdles.
I don't know. It's an interesting thing, and I hate to count them out. I hate to give Vegas a sweep here because obviously going back to Montreal, anything can happen. Vegas hasn't traveled that far all year. It's still a different atmosphere in Vegas or in Montreal than Vegas. So maybe the quiet / weirdly loud Montreal crowd can scare them a little bit. I don't know. I have a hard time seeing Montreal push this to seven. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. That
you and Adam picked Montreal. I thought I was going to have a little bit of an argument here.
Well, no, what I keep saying is I want to see one more game. I want to see what the adjustments that are made, and I want to see them in Montreal. I know that it's not the same with the fans. I totally understand that, but I truly believe that this series isn't just over. I can't see this just going a four-game sweep and then we're all pressing on. I think there's a lot of hockey left to be played in this series. Obviously, it depends on a lot of things. Like, what do we have a timeline on Petrie? Because I thought I'd heard that there's a chance he's coming back.
Marilyn Evans could play tonight. I feel like Petrie was a game time decision for game one almost. Like, so I feel that, like he will be back. He's a tough guy. He'll be back.
Yeah, so it just depends on different factors like that. Like, if you can get him back, that's a huge, huge loss. Depends on 100%. The health of Weber. Like, the health of a lot of these guys is big. But yeah, we've seen the playoffs. This is why we love and watch hockey, because we can sit here and we can make all of our predictions. And we have been so wrong the entire year.
I haven't made a wrong prediction yet. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, how are the Leafs doing?
We don't talk about them.
I like what you're saying, though. Okay, about the money tied up in goaltending. Because I think this is a season where, if you look at the goaltenders that are left standing, I think it's a pretty indicative statement of just saying, yeah, this is why you pay them. This is why you put the money into the goaltenders.
Look at all the teams that lost out. They had, you know, $5-6 million tied up in goaltending. Montreal has 14. Vegas has, you know, 12, 10, whatever.
But they're Tampa. Here, aren't they?
Oh, no, I'm saying it's a good decision. I'm totally a fan of, you know, having a quality backup goaltender, because, sorry, if you're the Edmonton Oilers and you have $4 million tied up in your goaltenders and they're mediocre, you're not going anywhere. Your goaltender is the difference maker. And you have to pay guys that have success as well. I understand Ottawa's not in a perfect situation with Matt Murray. St. Louis isn't in a perfect situation with Jordan Binnington, but you got to pay the guys who won. And that's that. That's your Flurries. That's your Leonards. They went on runs. I mean, think of back to Antti Niemi. You know, you got to pay those guys who will or have been there. That's what gets you along in the playoffs. Quick one for you. How many goals does Cole Caulfield score the rest of the series? Now that he's opened the can.
Yeah, I did want to bring that up, actually. I was really sad that his goal was overshadowed by the loss. Seeing his family in the stands was just such a cool moment. As just a hockey fan, it was so wonderful. It depends how long they stick around. I think he gets two more.
Wow, three goals in the series.
Tyler
puts in the comments, is Cody a VGK believer yet? Hey, I'm a Vegas guy. You know, I would never pick against them. I didn't pick the Habs to win. I don't know what you're talking about. No, I think Vegas has it. And Adam's been harsher on Vegas, especially with their center depth. I don't look into that as much because I'm not as smart. So I just, you know, kind of take them for what they are. I think they're, you know, a better team than Montreal. And I think they're a more playoff built team than Colorado was.
Well, so in center depth, sense. I'm not looking at the Habs going, that's the pinnacle of center depth.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, everyone knows Colorado's a tougher opponent than Montreal for the most part. From, you know, Colorado's soft decor, that's way too small and way too skilled. But again, story for another time. We got to get to a couple of segments here, though. First, Quack Stats. Okay, Katie, who are we going to bench today for our friends at Quack Stats, most advanced player tracking technology? I'm going to bench GMs who don't want Jack Eichel, because I think that Jack Eichel's a franchise changer. And if you get him at an organization like the Edmonton Oilers, the LA Kings, this totally changes the trajectory of your lineup.
Okay, I'm benching anyone who doesn't believe in sunscreen, because I think that's not the message we should be spreading going into the summer.
Okay, and that's it for the show today. I will recover. I will recover by the next show, and I will be less red, I promise. Okay, bet of the night here for mybookie.ag. Use promo code 120ZSports. Of course, punch that in mybookie.ag. I'm picking Vegas in regulation. They're -115. It's a good price. I made a lot of money off them in game one. I think they do it again. I think the only way Montreal does it, and everyone says you're not in trouble till you lose at home, Montreal is going to have to prove this theory correct.
See, and I'm going opposite. I think we're going to get a Montreal win and split the series. And I can't wait for that to age so poorly.
Okay, well, I guess we'll see which one ages poorly. We will mark this, and James, our producer, will chalk that one up for sure. I think they're like +200 on the money line. Like, they're big dogs again. But as we said before, Carey Price, with him, anything's possible. Anything's possible in a game. He could steal you one. He could steal you two. Can he steal you four against Vegas? That is wild, wild stakes to put up there. Everyone, don't forget, download the podcast, the Hockey Podcast Network. They're producing it. Download, rate, subscribe wherever you get your podcast from. Any last thoughts you had for the show? Any last hot takes, spicy takes you want to get out there?
No, I wish we had enough time to talk about Dougie Hamilton, because that's such an interesting situation with him coming up. But yeah.
Yeah, he should stay in Carolina. He's gonna
I think they need to pay him. Yep.
I think that's the place. But again, Carolina hates paying people. And that's why Rod Brendamore is not signed. That's the most asinine thing out there, is just give him a blank check.
Give him everything he wants.
Who are they? They're thinking Patrick Waugh's going to change that team?
Yeah.
I don't know. Unless he wants out. Unless he wants to go to Seattle. The only way I see it.
I think it's an ownership thing. But we don't have enough time to get into that.
I do. They don't want to pay for their scouts' cell phone bills. I think we got a lot bigger issues to get through. That's going to do it, though. Huge thanks, Kaylee Chelios, Tampa Bay Lightning radio analyst, Ken Bokey, Sinbin, Vegas, for hopping on the show. Everyone, enjoy Game 2, Vegas-Montreal tonight. I think it's going to be a thriller. And, of course, put your money on Vegas in regulation, because I am never wrong with this kind of stuff. Everyone, we'll see you next week. Be kind. Be better.